There were actually two parades that day, not just one. One was a peasant procession, the other an imperial procession. From the east, Jesus rode a donkey down the Mount of Olives, cheered by his followers. Jesus was from the peasant village of Nazareth. His message was about the kingdom of God, and his followers came from the peasant class. They had journeyed to Jerusalem from Galilee, about 100 miles to the north. On the opposite side of the city, from the west, Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor, entered the city at the head of a column of imperial cavalry and soldiers. Jesus' procession proclaimed the kingdom of God. Pilate's proclaimed the power of empire, specifically the power of Rome. And these two processions, coming into Jerusalem from opposite ends, embody the central conflict of the week that led to Jesus' crucifixion. According to biblical scholars Marcus Borg and John Dominic Crossan, who together wrote a book called The Last Week, which chronicles the events of Mark's gospel during Holy Week. According to them, it was standard practice for the Roman governor to move from his splendid palace in Caesarea on the sea to Jerusalem for all the major Jewish festivals, bringing with him a huge military contingent. Passover, after all, was a patriotic holiday when the Jews remembered and celebrated their liberation centuries earlier from the Egyptian Empire, their delivery from slavery in Egypt, and how they journeyed toward nationhood and freedom and a land of their own. Now that is potent stuff, especially when Jerusalem and all of the people are under the domination of Rome. The Roman governor comes down to make sure that nothing gets too out of hand. And today, if you go to the Fortress Antonio in Jerusalem, where many of the soldiers were stationed, you can actually find some scratchings in the stone that may have been left behind by bored soldiers, maybe even the ones who are about to interrogate their prisoner, Jesus. But that's 5 days later. Today is Sunday. Pilate is marching into Jerusalem, and he's wary. His eyes and his troops keep scanning the crowd, looking for signs of danger. Imagine that procession, Borg and Crossan write, a visual panoply of imperial power, cavalry on horses, foot soldiers, leather armor, helmets, weapons, harnesses, golden eagles mounted on poles, sun glinting on metal and gold, the sounds of marching feet, the creaking of leather, the clinking of bridles, the beating of drums. Now, what was on display in that Roman parade was not just Roman imperial power, but also Roman imperial theology. Ever since Augustus Caesar announced that he was the Son of God, Roman emperors were considered to be divine, and that included the current emperor, Tiberius. Now, Rome in general had no argument with other religions. They took a very much live and let live approach. But when the religion insists that there is no God but God, and that you cannot make an image that you honor or worship, that went against the very civic religion of the Roman Empire. And so the Roman governor, Pilate, was very intent on keeping tabs on this feisty, stubborn people with all of their stubborn insistence that only God was God and that Caesar was not God. And then here comes Jesus with his procession not honoring the emperor at all. And when Jesus selected a donkey, when he rode into the city in exactly the way the prophet Zechariah had predicted, "Lo, your king comes to you, humble and lowly, riding on a colt, the foal of a donkey." That was a direct challenge to Roman power and authority. It was really a counter procession to Pilate's procession. It was, in a way, a planned political demonstration, or as another commentator says, it was political street theater. And it's also important to note what doesn't happen on Palm Sunday. After the events of both processions are over, Jesus goes into the temple and looks around, and then he leaves and goes back to the village of Bethany. For many of his Jewish followers, that was an anti-climax. They expected the parade to end with the Messiah at long last taking power. Many of them were hoping for a strong leader in the mold of King David, who would rally the people, recruit the active insurgency that was already striking at Rome, and ready to strike a blow at the empire itself and against Governor Pilate and all of the Roman soldiers. But it didn't happen that way. Jesus was not an insurrectionist. He was not a revolutionary, at least not the kind of revolutionary they were expecting. Because Jesus' revolution was a revolution of love, not one of revenge. It was a revolution that wasn't about power and domination, but one that was about justice and kindness. His kingdom was not about military might, but compassion. This year during Lent, I've been reading a remarkable book called Black Liturgies by Cole Arthur Riley. And she writes from her experience as a Black Christian and as an African American who grew up in the United States. And this is her prayer for Palm Sunday. God of the palm, thank you for drawing near to us. We have known what it is to encounter help that isn't truly help. We have known savior complexes and the narrative of heroism, which is always secretly delighted in suffering so that it might be the hero again and again. Thank you for showing us a different way, a God who rejects privilege, a God who is unbothered by sitting on a donkey if it means you are drawing near to us. As we wait, take away the fear that is settled on our souls. Help us to trust in the arrival of goodness, even in the wake of suffering. Let this Palm Sunday speak the language of welcome, that we would never turn hope away when it appears to us. Amen. And I find that so remarkable. Her beautiful observation that Jesus is the Savior who does not have a Savior complex. Jesus is a Savior who first completely identifies with us in our own suffering, in all the ways that we have been mistreated or hurt or disappointed by life. During Holy Week and Lent, we often talk about journeying with Jesus to Jerusalem. But we do well to remember that this is also when Jesus journeys with us, when Jesus takes the initiative and walks with us and is present through whatever heartache we may be experiencing, even that low-grade kind of heartache that's 4 years old, going back to the beginning of the pandemic. And as a society, perhaps we have not fully grieved. We still carry that sadness and that all that grief with us. And Jesus journeys with us through all of that, continues to journey with us through all of that. David H.C. Reed was a longtime pastor of the Madison Avenue Presbyterian Church in New York City. But he was a Scot, and during World War II, he was a chaplain in the British Army. In 1940, he was captured, and he spent the next 5 years in a POW camp. And in the spring of 1945, as the Allied forces were closing in and the end of the war seemed near at long last, the prisoners were transferred from those camps and marched to other camps that were away from the advancing armies. And they were put in filthy camps, with little food or water and no sanitation. And near the end, the British prisoners were moved again to a new camp and were joined by several thousand Americans. And Reed tells about his first Sunday in the new camp. There was no chapel, so the men gathered in an open space, lying on the ground, some standing, sitting, some wounded, some sick, some dying, It was Palm Sunday, and Reed had no notes, no sermon manuscript, so he told the story of the way that Jesus had set his face to Jerusalem, ready to endure whatever might happen to him there. And Reed said that I spoke of his sharing everything that had happened or could happen to us, and how God comes close to us in Christ. I spoke of the Easter that was a week away. All of us knew we'd either be free or dead by then. In a way, far from the conventional sense of the words, we knew we were in the hands of God, in the presence of Christ and his cross. Today is a very important day, a day of two processions, a day when love confronts power, a day when love loves enough to become vulnerable. The first day of the week in which love will die and then destroy death. A day on which Jesus comes to you and to me to invite us to follow, to cast our lot with him and the realm of God. All glory and praise be to our God. Amen.